Well, thank you very much as well. I extend a warm welcome to you. And we are going to read in the book of Acts in the New Testament and chapter 16. In fact, we are going to look at an example of what you have just been hearing. I hope you don't mind repetition because there will be a little bit of that. But we're going to read a well-known story, a real life story, the story of a man who at one time in his life, if he was asked the question that you were just asked, are you saved? He would have said no. What does it mean to be saved? I don't know. I've never heard that before. And yet, by the time we finish with this man, he would raise his hand and say, yes, I am saved. That's what we would like for you to do tonight, is to come to that point where you understand what it means to be saved and accept the Savior of sinners, and know for sure that you are saved from your sins. Let's read together. We'll break into the story. There's two preachers, Paul and Silas. They've gone to the city of Philippi. They are preaching the gospel. They have been treated very badly, in fact, dragged through town and why don't we just begin to read at verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the inner prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, the jailer, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What a good question. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway his family. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat or food before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What an amazing story left on the pages of Holy Scripture. Now, I believe that this question is really at the very center, at the core of the gospel message. It was written away back in the first century, and it was recorded by a holy man of God, inspired, written, and here it is left on the pages of Scripture from the first century. Here we are in 2018, and the message of the gospel has not changed, not one little bit. Now, you've been learning already in this meeting that the word, the term saved, has a number of synonyms and that help us to understand its meaning. And there are words like liberated or delivered or rescued or as Stephen mentioned, made whole, portraying the imagery of someone who is in desperate need. Now, he used examples, and we understand what this word means in a physical sense. I'm speaking to younger people here tonight, along with the adults, and you all understand what it means to be saved physically. I lived with my family for about 3.5 years on the little island of Fogo, which is a tiny island off the northeast coast of Newfoundland. So it's a little island off the island. My wife, she thought I took her to the moon, and it wasn't too much different, I don't think. But nonetheless, it there we were in Fogo, and there was a woman driving one morning. And you'll have to realize it's just a small island, 10 little communities, and a road, one main road going winding through, gravel road winding through the island, and butting up against the road on either side in certain areas. There would be little lakes and little ponds, and there was a woman driving one morning, and it was winter, and the roads were icy, and she was nervous, and she was driving her car. She pushed on the brakes at one point. Her car went into a spin and went over the embankment and down into one of these little ponds. Broke through about an inch layer of ice, and her car began to slip under the cold, frigid waters. She's frantic. She's panicking. She's trying to get out. She can't open her doors, and she jumps into the back seat, and she's banging on the back window, and she's yelling, and she can't get out, and she is drowning, literally. It just so happened that there was a man driving along in a Newtel vehicle, and he saw what had happened, and he was looking, and he saw this woman in the back seat, and he brought his vehicle to a halt. He jumped out of his vehicle and lunged into the cold, icy waters of Fogo Island, and he opened the back door. And he grabbed this woman and he pulled her out of the cold waters. Brought her to his van, wrapped her in a blanket, took her to the hospital. She was okay, just a little bit of shock and hypothermia. But she was saved. Saved. It's a great word, isn't it? You know, I've talked to people, and they actually don't like that word saved. I'm not sure what it is about the word that they don't like, but for some reason, they just don't. It is a very biblical word. And so I am going to repeat the question tonight. Are you saved? Now, I have, in the next 14 minutes, I have 4 thoughts that I would like to share with you about salvation. First, very simple, very much to the surface, is the necessity of salvation. We all need to come to this point of understanding. I need. You will not go after it. You will not desire it. You will not receive salvation until first you find out in God's presence, I need to be saved. Now, If we were to go through this chapter, which is very interesting, but time prohibits. If we were to go through this chapter, there are at least five characters in this chapter that recognize that they needed to be saved. You take the preacher, Paul. I mean, he was, if you read about his life story, he was a religious zealot. He was a man, and let me tell you, if there was anybody on fire, it was him. And he was willing to haul women and children to prison because he thought he was doing God service. He was actually consenting to the death of a man because he just believed in the cause that he was involved in. He recognized on the Damascus road, on his knees, on his face, in the dirty, dusty road of Damascus, I need to be saved. In fact, 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Recognize, I need to be saved. And then there's the second preacher, Silas. I don't know too much about him. Maybe some of you scholars here tonight could help me out on this, but I understand his name is the shortened form of the Roman name Silvanus. So I don't know, possibly a Gentile, a Roman maybe. And anyway, just an ordinary Silas, ordinary Joe, if you will. And he needed to be saved. Then there was the woman Lydia, right? And Lydia's in this chapter, and she was a woman much different than, I mean, she was a businesswoman. She was, I would suppose you would call her a fairly refined woman, a woman of stature, and a woman who was in the textile industry. You know what it says about her? Very interesting words. It says, now she was at a prayer meeting, and it says that the Lord opened her heart. I like that. The Lord opened her heart. And even though she was probably a very respect, you would like to have this woman as a neighbor, and she would probably be very generous and kind. But you see, her heart was cold and closed to the things of God. And it took the Lord to open that heart. That's what's needed here tonight. We can't do it. The Spirit of God can do it through His Word. And I hope He's doing it right now, opening your heart to the truths of salvation. And then there's this pathetic situation of a young girl in this chapter, slave girl, who was under the tyranny of Satan, who was held captive by cruel master. She was involved in the occult or in witchcraft, and she was bringing lots of gain to her masters, and Satan had a grip on this young woman's life. She needed to be saved. And then there's our story, the jailer. And some suggest that he was possibly a Roman centurion, a man who had retired from the Roman army, and now he's in Philippi, and now he's taking care of a prison, and we don't know too much about his life before we're introduced to him here. But in verse 25, probably up to this point, he had no care about his soul and had little understanding of God, and yet God came into this man's life and rattled his cage, shook him literally with an earthquake, and he was awakened to understand he had a great need to be saved. I don't know if you young ones follow sports at all, but I was reading the story of of a man who was a two-sport star, both in Major League Baseball and National Football. His name was Deion Sanders. And I'm just going to read to you a quote from Deion Sanders. He said, "I remember winning the Super Bowl that year." That was 1997. "And that night after the game, I was the first one out of the locker room and the first one to the press conference and the first one to go home. And I remember my wife Carolyn saying to me, 'Baby, you just won the Super Bowl. Don't you have a party downstairs or something to go to?' And I just said, 'Nah.' And rolled over and went to bed. Went to sleep. That same week, I bought myself a brand new $275,000 Lamborghini. And I haven't driven it a mile before I realized, no, that's not it. That's not what I'm looking for. It's got to be something else. I am so hungry." That's when the Lord was really calling me. And there was nobody going through it with me. It was just me, one-on-one with God. And I'm still reading the quote here. "I tried running from it and running from it. And even when I played baseball the following year in Cincinnati, the Lord kept calling me and pulling me and drawing me along. I tried everything. Parties, women, buying expensive jewelry and gadgets, and nothing helped. There was no peace. I was playing great. I got all the media attention and everything the world has to offer, but no peace, no joy, just emptiness inside. I tried throwing myself into my career, into sports, trying to see how far I could go. When I achieved every goal I could think of, I was right back where I started. Empty, empty, empty. And nothing I did could touch the deep loneliness inside me. I was just running. I couldn't stop." Then, he said, "then I met a few Christians." It's wonderful, you know, how God has his people in different places. Then I met a few Christians. And late one night, I got up and opened my Bible that they had given me to a passage in Romans. Romans 10, in fact. And this is what he read. "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And he said, those words, they hit me like a ton of bricks. And I knew they were meant for me. At that precise moment, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior." End quote. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. The need. I wonder, is there anyone here tonight? And you have come to understand, I need salvation. But not only do we see in this story the necessity of salvation, I would like to highlight the fact that we see the priority of salvation. I mean, the response of this man, I tried to emphasize it in my reading. Verse 29, he called for a light, he sprang in, he brought them out, he fell down, he is shaking from head to toe. He blurted out, "What must I do to be saved?" All of a sudden, God was working, and there was an urgency. There was a real longing desire created in this man. "I need to be saved." I wonder, if I were to give out to you young men and ladies and older people and all through this crowd, just a sheet, small sheet of paper, and asked you to write down your top five priorities. I wonder where God would come on that list. I wonder where salvation would come on that list. Well, I need to get an education, and I need to want to get a good job, and I'd like to get a husband, or I want to have a family, all noble desires, and you know, there's a hobby that I want to plug into, and lots of things. Where would salvation come on that list of priorities? You know, I remember my daughter, Theanna. She was just a young girl, I think around 11. 10 or 11, yeah, I think she was 11, and she had gone through 3 consecutive gospel series. And just so happened that I, along with Albert Hall, was preaching in the last of the 3. My little girl, she was at all 3 series, you know, by the time she, almost every night, she was saying, "Daddy, I want to be saved. I don't know how to be saved. And can you show me how to be saved?" And even as a gospel preacher, I'll acknowledge to you, I felt helpless. I just basically gave her a verse every night just to look at. And this particular night, 2 weeks into the series, she was crying one night, and after the meeting, she said, "Daddy, I want to be saved tonight." And I gave her a verse. It was Isaiah 53:5. And I said, "Theanna, you're just going to have to read the verse and go to bed." And I'll never forget it. She looked up at me, eyes wide open, tears flowing down her cheeks. And this is what she said: "Daddy, I am not going to sleep tonight until I get saved." Wow. That's when I went and got Mr. Hall. I said, "Can you go in and talk to my daughter?" She read a verse, Romans 5, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." You know, I don't want to emphasize what Stephen has already emphasized. Not now the necessity of salvation, and not now the priority of salvation, but the simplicity of salvation. Notice what these men said. When the question was asked, "What must I do to be saved?" they didn't point him to a religion. They didn't point him to a sacrament. They didn't point him to good works. They didn't point him to do anything of himself. All they said was this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." What I want you to understand tonight, every single one of you, is maybe there's somebody here and you're asking this man's question. I hope so. Salvation is found in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done the work. He said, "It is finished." In fact, just one word, I believe, is all he said: "Finished." It's all done. It's completed. There's nothing left for you to do. Just rest in the work that has been accomplished. Just look, as we've been hearing, to this one final sacrifice for sin. Rest your all. Put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise is, you will be saved. And my time's gone, but I'll close just by telling you of the reality of salvation. And it is real. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I can hardly believe that. I mean, I'm a young 50, only 51. But I've been saved for over 30 years now. And it's wonderful. It really, really is. It worked for Paul and Silas. Do you know too many people, if they were in prison and feet in cruel stocks and be after being beaten and treated so unkindly, do you know anyone who would sing at a time like that? Huh. Well, Christians do. And did you notice the immediate change in this man from beating these preachers to wiping their stripes and bringing them into his home? And he was baptized and he fed them and he was rejoicing. You see, God's salvation, it changes the person from the inside out. So, as I conclude my message tonight, I want to challenge you. If you are not saved here in this meeting, we have no altar call, we have no cards to sign. But if you want to be saved, this is the time for you to trust Christ. You can do it right now. There is nothing, no steps that you need to follow to get. It's just an acknowledgement of sin. I am the sinner. Oh God, it's me. I have sinned. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to take away my sin. May you do it tonight. Shall we pray?